Our sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. Genesis 4, 1 to 26. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. It will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Arad, and Arad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. O Yahweh, we cry out to you. Make haste and give ear to us when we cry out. Let our prayers be set before you as incense, and the lifting of our hands as the evening sacrifice. Set guards over our lips. Do not incline our hearts to any evil thing. Let the righteous strike us, for it is kindness. Our eyes are upon you. Do not leave our souls destitute. Keep us from the snares and traps of the evil one, and let the wicked fall into their own nets while we escape safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are sacrifice and blood. Sacrifice and blood. Well, this being Daylight Savings Weekend, I planned on the clock up there not set correctly. It's for Psalm 119 sermon. But Keith's already changed it, so we'll proceed with Genesis 4. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we left off last Lord's Day in Genesis 3 with the Lord's expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden. Now, in their exit, the Lord clothed the first couple with skins. Skins presumably made from an animal sacrifice. This was in contrast with the fig leaf garments that they first made after they ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this was a different kind of exit for Adam and Eve than was God's good original design. And we ought to consider this. For in the beginning, God made human beings to cultivate the garden and then to send them out into the land to work the ground and then proceed to the ends of the earth, subduing it in exercising dominion. In God's good design, God would send Adam and Eve forth from the garden in maturity and wisdom to rule over the earth. But as we heard last Lord's Day, tragically, they ate from the tree too soon. Their faithlessness revealed their immaturity in ruling and serving. But after eating from that tree, the tree of wisdom, the tree of judgment, the very first thing Adam and Eve did was fashion garments from the leaves of the tree. After eating the fruit of wisdom, the very first thing they did was make garments from leaves. They created clothing from God's creation. So consider that sequence. Gain wisdom, cultivate creation. Gain wisdom, make creation better. After receiving wisdom, perhaps Adam and Eve made these garments as an image of robes of authority. Now, in judgment, the Lord revealed that these garments were unfit for Adam and Eve due to their sin. So instead, he made tunics from skins, from a bloody sacrifice. And these clothes were more appropriate as the situation had changed for creation. God's curse upon man and creation affected the dynamic for worship and for work. Mankind would not be free to bring forth glory from the creation without any difficulties. And now blood was a part of the situation. Let us keep these first three chapters of Genesis in mind as we consider Genesis 4 today with Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, to better understand their story. Think of Genesis 1 through 3. Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel, brought gifts to God. They brought offerings as part of their worship. Cain, who was a worker of the ground, he worked the ground and his gift was from the ground. Abel tended animals, so his gift was of the first of his flock. Cain and Abel didn't have Leviticus to teach them about sacrifices, about bringing gifts. All they had from which to learn was creation itself and the Lord's good revelation to their parents, Adam and Eve. So, what might they learn from Genesis 1 through 3? Here's Hebrews 11, verse 4, which is on the inside cover of your liturgy, tells us, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, Abel, being dead, still speaks." So that tells us that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's. His sacrifice revealed that he was righteous. Genesis 4 tells us God had regard for Abel's sacrifice, but not for Cain's. That's what we know. Now, for clarification, there's nothing here in the text that says anything about Cain's motivation. There's nothing here that says anything about his attitude thus far. Nothing about an apparent hypocrisy on the part of Cain. It doesn't say that. They both brought gifts. They both brought offerings. God liked Cain's, and he didn't like Abel's. Why not? It might be as simple as Abel brought steak and Cain brought broccoli. How would you respond? Well, considering the first three chapters of Genesis, Cain brought a pre-fall sacrifice. He came to God with a gift like nothing had happened. He worked the ground, he brought forth something good from it, and he gave it to God. Abel brought an animal. Therefore, Abel shed blood. God looked at Cain's gift. The situation had changed. Sin is now part of creation. Sin is now part of man's relationship with God. Blood is a necessary part of the situation due to sin. God made skins for Adam and Eve. Blood must be shed. Human beings now have to approach God with blood. We have to approach God with blood. Due to sin, due to the fall of Adam, due to the sin of all mankind, blood must be shed. We can't approach God without it. We can't just stroll into worship like nothing happened, like the fall never happened, like Adam and Eve didn't sin, like we haven't sinned ourselves. We can't just approach God like nothing. We need blood to come to God. And we do this every Lord's Day. We do this in prayer. We confess our sins to God. And we do it in the name of Jesus. We confess our sins in the name of Jesus because of his sacrifice. Because his blood has been shed. His blood covers us. His blood atones for us. For our sins. He is the firstborn from the dead. Like Abel offered from the firstborn from his flock. But the blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel's sacrifice, which the Lord regarded, which declared that Abel was righteous. Now, the animals in the Levitical sacrifices functioned in a similar way. You read Leviticus, you see that you can offer a grain offering. You can work the ground and bring something to God. You can offer it as a gift. But before you do that, you have to offer the sin offering. You have to offer the ascension offering. Those are both bloody animals. In the worship service here, before we present our tithes and offerings, which we just did, what did we do before that? We confess sin. And we are forgiven based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. You just heard it. Because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. No blood, no life. No bloodshed. God has no regard for your sacrifice. Has no regard for your gifts. Now again, there's no evidence here that God disregarded Cain because he came with a bad attitude. Perhaps you've interpreted that way or even explained it that way. I have. But Cain did have a choice after God's rejection. He could repent. He could offer a better righteous sacrifice like his brother Abel did. Perhaps he could take all the fruit of the ground that he had cultivated, trade it to Abel for an animal that he could offer to God. Or Cain could degenerate into sin and death. So the Lord gave him a good word here. Verses 6 and 7, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Brothers and sisters, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not well, do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is to rule over you." Sin's desire is to devour you, but you should rule over it. Those are words of warning. That's grace. Turn and do well. Repent, Cain. Something Cain could do. And we have that same opportunity daily when we confess sins. Same opportunity weekly when we're here in worship. We confess our sins. We do it truly. We do it genuinely. And by the grace of God, we are declared to have our sins forgiven because of Jesus. And we don't have to do those sins anymore. You're not enslaved to those sins. You can actually turn from them and do good. The power of the Spirit grants you repentance unto life. And repentance is always unto life. Turn from sin and death and live. Boys and girls, don't fight with each other. Confess the sin, turn from it, and you will live. Church, don't gossip. You don't have to do it. Don't grumble. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't lust. Turn from it and live. Do good, and God will be pleased with you. He already tells you he loves you. He declares to you your sins are forgiven. Go forth and do good. God looks upon you in his mercy. He sees you united to his Son. That's glorious grace. Now walk in it. Do the good deeds he has prepared before you that you should walk therein. What does Cain do? Cain devolves into pride, resentment, envy, and murder. Cain killed his brother. He murdered his brother. Boys and girls, don't kill your brothers and sisters. But it started with pride. It started with resentment. And it started with a sacrifice, a gift to God. What began as a worship issue degenerated into homicide. Worship to homicide. This was Cain's fault. It's not Abel's fault. God gave him the way out. Turn unto life. Do well, Cain. God even warned Cain, "Sin is after you, Cain. Rule over sin." Did Cain listen to the sermon? No. He left God's warning. He did what he wanted to do. And this is the worship dynamic. You hear from the Lord. You hear from his word every Lord's Day. How will you respond? If you accept it by faith and you do what it says, you will live. hear it, believe it, and do it. That's faith. If you are prideful, if you're hard-hearted, you will, one way, reject it outright. No way. No way am I doing that. I don't believe that. Or you'll do nothing. You'll hear it. Sounds okay. It's not objectionable. But if you don't do it, you are still rejecting it. Love your neighbor. If you go forth and don't love your neighbor, you are rejecting what God says. They're both faithless. And rejection of the Lord is always unto death. Eve did this in the garden. She said over herself, other voices than God's. The serpent's voice, her own voice, and it resulted in sin and death. Cain did not heed God's warning. It led to death. Abel's death, as we will see shortly, the death of the family. Brothers and sisters, we have that confrontation here today. Will you respond to what God's word says? Do you believe what God says? Cain did not respond by faith. He responded in unbelief, and it did not go well with him. He murdered his brother, and the Lord judged him for it. And like Cain's parents' expulsion from the Garden of Eden, the Lord expelled Cain from the land. Cain was exiled. He had to go too. And even in God's just judgment for the murder, he sent Cain with some amount of grace here. He forbid anyone to take vengeance on Cain. He put a mark on him, perhaps an embarrassing mark that he would carry around to remind everyone what murder leads to, what rejection of God leads to. No human being had the authority or permission to avenge the righteous blood of Abel, the Cain spilt on the ground. That was God's protection. Cain would continue to live. Cain would continue to enjoy God's good creation. So Cain left God's presence. He dwelt in the land of Nod. He had a son with his wife. His son's name was Enoch. And Cain built a city and named the city after his son. And we hear from Genesis 4, the line of Cain continued through the generations. We hear a genealogy here of Cain's descendants. And this line concludes with Cain's great-great-great-grandson, Lamech. This is the line of Cain. This family comes after Cain left the presence of God. Some amount of blessing and protection, Cain's family begins to grow and populate this city of Enoch. Cain continues to work the ground. But from Cain's fall and expulsion from the land, things don't get better for him. In fact, they get worse. This son Enoch is not the Enoch in Genesis 5 who walks with God. It's a different Enoch. In this genealogy, nothing is added concerning the other descendants until we get to Lamech. And Lamech is, again, his great-great-great-grandson. Lamech committed polygamy, which transgresses the garden's design of clinging to one's wife, plural, or singular, singular. Lamech transgresses God's design of giving life. Instead of taking it, he killed a young man for wounding him. God said, don't kill Cain, even though he killed Abel. You have no right to take his life. Lamech is wounded by a man, a young man, and kills him. This is big, tough Lamech. He is worse than Cain. He demands honor and respect. He says, hear my voice. Listen to me. I am Lamech. You think Cain was bad, great, great, great-grandfather Cain. He killed his brother. You think he's important building a city? Check me out. A young guy hurt me and I slaughtered him. He got his. Cain is worth sevenfold vengeance. I'm worth 77-fold vengeance. This is quite the family. Big, powerful city. Grandpa Cain, with his protective mark. All this after leaving the presence of God. And sin has degenerated to a wicked great-great-great-grandson. And this line, Cain's genealogy, will be a stain on the cooperation and relationships of humanity. Boys and girls, where did this all start? Where did this all go bad? From Cain's sin. From his expulsion. From his departure from the presence of God. God makes us in his image. He blesses us immensely with gifts. How do we accomplish anything good in the world? By the grace of God. So look at what Cain accomplished. Big city, big family. He moved in a direction of gaining the whole world. What can man accomplish with some willpower? But hear what the word says about Cain elsewhere. 1 John 3. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. It's 1 John 3, and this juxtaposition here is that Cain is of the line of the devil. But that's not where he started. He was a covenant son who offered a bad gift to God. He was a covenant son in worship. An improper gift. And then he left the presence of God. And he degenerated. He was a murderer. And he had a corrupt family. That's where Cain ended up. He started in worship, degenerated to a murderer. Jude chapter, or it's only one chapter to Jude, verses 3 and 4, verse 11. Jude warns, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which is once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe to them," verse 11, "woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." They've crept into the church. And they go the way of Cain. Watch out for the bad guys. Hebrews chapter 11, which describes Abel's righteous sacrifice, is a whole chapter of elevating covenant saints, old covenant saints, who set a faithful example looking forward to the coming of the Son. And in that long list of saints, the cloud of witnesses, Abel is included. There's not much said about Abel, but he is included in that list of saints looking forward to Christ. Now we know that there's also a list that we could compile of the bad people in the Bible, even some former covenant members, saints who failed horribly due to pride, greed, lust, etc., sins. And we also need to learn from them. The righteous ones look forward to Christ. The unrighteous wicked descended into death. Judas. Goliath. Pharaoh. Abel and Jezebel. And Cain. Learn the path that leads to destruction. Learn from it and avoid it. Now, when God judged Cain, he cried out in despair. This punishment is too great for me to bear. God warned him. He gave him a second chance. He was gracious. Forgiveness was offered. Repentance was offered. But for Cain and others, for many, those warnings, those blessings and opportunities are not heeded. And there will be a time, a day in the future, when those who reject God and His grace will want those opportunities back. But it will be too late. And those warnings are for us as His covenant people. We hear the word every Lord's Day, blessing. We read the Bible in our homes, at our tables, sitting in our beds. God gives us the grace of a faithful covenant family, community with much maturity and wisdom here. Good accountability from brothers and sisters. We have opportunities to do right and to turn back from doing wrong. That's all of grace. And the warnings are there for us too. Don't indulge. Don't plunge into death. The wages of sin is death. You hear that this morning. That's my message to you. The wages of sin is death. How will you respond to that? Cain was one step removed from the garden. Covenant child, Adam and Eve's firstborn son. He had the opportunity to bring sacrifice to God. Pride, I know better than God. Bitterness, I hate my brother. Envy, why can't I have what he has? Cain's line ends in death, destruction, and judgment. We'll see more of that in subsequent chapters in Genesis. But at the end of Genesis 4, the Lord brings resurrection. Verses 25 and 26. Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. New life of the line of Adam. Because Abel was murdered. Cain effectively committed suicide with his sin. And Seth is the new son of promise, the new seed of the woman. And he will start a new line, a new family. And we'll hear about that in Genesis 5. Seth's line will be a godly line as they restart worship after the sacrifice fiasco with Cain and Abel. In the end of this chapter, in verse 26, the implication here is that Cain's line, Cain's city, did not call on the name of Yahweh. They did not worship the triune God. Enoch was a city of man. They still achieved much, animal husbandry, music, metallurgy, but the cities of men will ultimately fall. The Bible has plenty of examples of that. Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, Babylon, Rome. But the city of God, in contrast, grows and spreads. and conquers. And this is that city here. This is the New Jerusalem, which we confessed earlier in our responsive reading. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. This is the city of life. This is where the water of life, the Holy Spirit, pours forth from the throne to remake the earth. And it starts here. It starts in worship. Life starts in worship. The world changing, being remade by the Spirit, starts here. Your life starts here. Your new life united to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's graciously given to you by God. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. And by faith, you come back every week. You come back with your sacrifice. You come back with the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that blood brings you into the covenant family. That blood is part of your covenant faithfulness when you confess your sin. In response, you give gifts to God. And the Lord exhorts you. The Lord encourages, rebukes, sends you forth with warnings. Respond with faith. So again, brothers and sisters, today you've heard the word of the Lord. You're given the choice. Life or death. It starts here in worship. Life or death. Choose life. Do the righteous works God has given you, and He will be pleased. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given your only Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and an example of godly life, give us grace that we may always most thankfully receive this inestimable benefit and also daily endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of His most holy life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.